Welcome to Curmudgeon's Corner for Saturday, April 4th, 2020. Once again, I'm Sam Mentor and Yvonne Bo is here again. Hello, Yvonne.
Hello.
So just for the plan, just get it out there. We're going to have this initial segment and we're going to try to do some things that are not on the stupid pandemic. And like maybe you're a little bit more light and frothy. Then after that, we have we had a question from a listener about sort of a hypothetical of how this whole thing would have been handled if a Democrat was in office instead of Donald Trump. And I figure we can talk about that for a while because it's not at all clear cut. I mean, we've said like Donald Trump would made things worse, but like, how exactly would it be different? And so an interesting counterfactual to sort of talk through. And then finally, rather than just doing another update on here are the stats and here's where it's bad and here's where it's not bad and blah, blah, blah.
Oh, let's be clear. The numbers suck. Okay. All right. Well, we don't need to go into the numbers anymore. They just suck.
Yeah, they're bad. And they are like when people have done those ranges of like best case versus worst case, we're not at the best case. Let's just leave it at that. Yeah, we're not at the best case.
Right. No.
But I did want to talk a little bit about the psychological toll of all this on everybody, and how folks are feeling and all of that sort of stuff. And I think that'll actually be enough for the show. So let's get started on this initial thing.
All right. So
yes.
Okay. So I, you know, trying to keep with my light and frothy thing. Look, it's been, we go about it in more detail later, but I don't know, for whatever reason, the end of this week has been rougher than just all the other weeks. Okay.
Okay.
Listen to a whole bunch of stuff that is not about this shit. Okay. All right. In order to keep my mind distracted from some stuff, ESPN tonight tried, and they failed miserably. I gotta say, they tried.
Yeah.
To show a couple of NBA players playing on their PlayStation head to head the electronic NBA game. Okay. All right.
Okay.
It failed miserably because I think that where they missed it, they should have had an announcer that was like egging them on.
Okay.
Or something. Okay. Just prodding them, talking about the game. You know, this guy's an idiot, something. They should have had that, but they didn't. They just had these two guys, and these two guys were not really very talkative.
They weren't commentating their own game as they were playing.
No, they
were like, this is one of those things, by the way, when YouTubers, there's this whole genre of YouTubers playing video games.
Twitch.
There's Twitch, there's YouTube, there's a whole bunch of different things, but the point is, it's not just you watch them play.
Right.
It's they talk about what they're doing in an entertaining way, at least the ones that get lots of viewers.
Right. And these guys were just, they're terrible. They're just terrible. And so, I did
see, by the way, like a clip on Twitter, like a few days back of like, it had to have been somebody who was actually a sports commentator, although I didn't recognize the name. So who knows? It could have just been some guy, but he did live commentary of his two dogs racing to see who could eat their food faster.
Yes. And that was great. That was really good stuff.
Yeah.
Well, look, I heard live commentary of a fucking marble race.
Yes. Well, I that video's old, but it's been going around again.
But
this week.
That was a great. But you know what? It was a fucking marble race, and the damn, narrative made it be compelling.
Yes. Yeah, absolutely.
Okay. So, this was just not good. I watched about half of it. I got to be honest with you. There's such a dearth of content that I even watch half of this damn thing. Okay. All right.
Well, you were mentioning on our Curmudgeon's Corner Slack that like, Wimbledon was canceled. And I was thinking, why don't you just have him like play Wii tennis or something?
That could be something, or something, but you need to improve on that. Okay. All right. I'm sure that they'll figure it out and make it better as they go along. Okay. All right. Mm-hmm. But that was, so then I, on the, I go and I'm going to my Twitter feed, and there is this show on ESPN that I find hilarious. Okay, and they usually just talk about random subjects. I mean, a lot of it sometimes includes sports, and sometimes, you know, they did a fantastic April Fool's on somebody, you know, the other day that, I mean, had me in stitches, so it was funny, you know. And so today they mentioned that that they did these personality tests, and they were showing what they had come up with. It's this test over at openpsychometrics.org. Okay. All right. That they did. Okay. All right. And so they did that test, and they were showing the characters that had come up as their characters, and they were just quite hilarious.
So now wait a second. This is a quiz that tries to match someone to, like, television characters from TV shows.
TV, you know, fictional. Actually, I saw from movies, TV shows, whatever. Okay.
Okay.
Because one of the guys on TV got matched to some guy from the main star of the Crazy Rich Asians movie.
Okay. Okay.
Okay. All right. So I took the test. Okay. All right. I went through this, and then they asked me, "Hey, look at these movies or programs. Do you know a lot about any of these, or have watched them?" Now, I have mentioned that my TV program limitations lately are basically narrowed down to, like, about Air Disasters.
Yeah.
And Law and Order reruns. Well, neither of those programs were on that list, okay?
Okay.
So there is this list of, like, they said, hey, take an extra 3 to 5 minutes to see so we can fine tune this. OK. And so they put this list of 20 programs, and I'm like,
you haven't watched any of them.
Fuck. I don't watch any of them. None of them. I mean, damn it. These were all, like, too recent. I mean, they were, like, in the last 20 years. I haven't watched any of them. It included, like, you know, Deep Space Nine. And I got to admit, I never watched a single episode of Deep Space Nine. I mean, I didn't watch Parks and Recreation. This dumb show, the one that had Charlie Sheen or whatever, Two and a Half Men.
Oh, okay.
All of these, nothing. So the only thing that was on the list, okay, that I felt like I knew the best, there were a couple of movies. They talked about Jurassic Park, and I got to be honest, I watched Jurassic Park 20 plus years ago. I've never watched it again.
Hey, that's on the list of my movies that I've watched recently that you could pick. I watched it on December 9th, 2019.
Okay, well, then you can pick that on the list, okay? You take the test, okay? But then the other one that I guess is the only one that maybe I saw some parts of it, but recently, was The Lion King. Okay?
Okay. All right. The new one or the old one?
The old one.
Because
okay.
The new one is on my list
one.
As well.
Yeah, and I have not watched the new one. Okay, obviously, of course, I've not watched the new one. So I'm like, shit, okay, fine. And look, I really struggled to answer questions about these characters on the fucking Lion King. It's not like I even watched it and I'm like, oh my God, this is my favorite movie of all time or something or whatever. No, okay, all right, so shit. So I'm going through the movie, and so I answered the questions about that. And then it gives me that for whatever the hell reason, that the best match between me and the self-assessment that I provided about the fictional character is a character from Deep Space Nine called Julian Bashir.
Bashir.
Bashir. Whatever the fuck. Anyway, look, I have no idea who this guy is. I have never heard of him. I had to look him up on Wikipedia, you know. I can see where there are certain characteristics about him that maybe perhaps it's why, you know.
Just like you, he's a doctor.
Well, not the profession, but you know, look, he's apparently pretty book smart, okay? All right, so he's not that bad, but I guess it's, other than that, I mean, I don't know.
I did watch Deep Space Nine, but I haven't watched it since it was, like, actually on the air. So it's been a long time since I watched Deep Space Nine, and I don't think I watched the complete run. Like, I think I missed some towards the end.
Okay.
But I don't see you and Julian. I don't see the match.
I don't know.
I don't know. I mean, like, it's a good show. You should watch. It's you know, you may have missed out a little bit, but, like, you know, I think I go from my memories of this character and my memories of you, and I'm like, yeah, no, I wouldn't have matched that up as similar.
Well, I don't know, sorry. But it's the computers. What are you arguing? The computer's right.
They are always right. These kinds of personality tests are always spot on the ball.
Yeah. I don't know why you're questioning this.
You can never go wrong.
No. So for whatever reason, so if you guys would like to take the test and submit your results, to us.
So give how to find it, either how to Google it or what the actual address is.
So the test is at openpsychometrics.org.
They have a whole bunch of tests here. What's this one called?
Oh, crap. Hang on. Wait, hold on. It is the Which Character Personality Quiz.
Okay. Yeah. I see it now. It's like 1, 2, 3. It's the fourth one down on the page.
Okay. So there you go. So that's, I don't know. Don't be curious to get the results. You know, it's
now,
like,
now just to be, how long did this thing take? Is this like a 30 second
just a few
quiz?
Minutes. It's just a few minutes, maybe two, maybe like 3 or 4 minutes.
Should I do mine real quick?
You want to do yours real quick?
Okay.
I'd be willing to wait.
Here we go. Begin assessment.
Okay.
Use the slider. Should I do this live or just should we like skip forward to my results?
It depends on how long it takes. Let's see. I don't know.
Okay. Use the slider to indicate where you fall on the spectrum from arcane to mainstream.
Arcane.
Okay, let's put myself at like
the edge of arcane all the way.
I was going to put myself 75% arcane.
I think you're selling yourself short.
Fine, 80% arcane. Use the slider to indicate where you fall in this spectrum. Creative to conventional. Let's put myself more on the conventional side here.
Yeah. Yeah.
60% conventional. Let's put that. Okay. Use the slider to indicate where you fall in the spectrum. Trusting to suspicious. I'm going to put myself more trusting, 70% trusting.
Yeah.
There we go. Use the slider to indicate where you fall in the spectrum. I'm not going to read that part anymore because that apparently is like the common.
Yes. That's yes. So this one is
tense to relaxed. I'm going to put myself 70% relaxed.
Yeah.
You're not that tense. I'm usually kind of laid back, except when I'm not.
There's specific things, but yeah, you're not a tense guy. No.
Okay, playful to serious. I'm going to leave myself in the middle.
Yeah, well, that makes sense.
Okay, spiritual to skeptical. I'll just slide that all the way over to skeptical. cheery to sorrowful. I'll put myself like halfway to cheery. There we go. Refined to rugged.
Not refined. No, but
I'm not,
I don't
rugged,
know about rugged
either. Yeah, I guess I'll leave myself near
the middle.
Leave
myself
in the middle.
Yeah.
I'm trying to get myself back to 50. I wish it would let me just type the number, but it's got the slider thing.
Yeah, okay. I know. It's got the slider.
Intellectual to physical. Let's just slide myself over to the intellectual side.
You would think.
Okay. And next. Artistic to scientific. Let's put myself all the way. I was thinking like 95. Okay, fine. All the way.
No.
Yeah. Indulgent to sober. So,
very sober.
90% sober.
Yeah. 90% sober. Yeah.
Normal to weird.
Let's go on the weird
Alex
side.
Says weird. All the way to weird. Right. There we go. The
Let's go turn up the weird.
Frugal to lavish. I'm actually thinking I'll leave myself kind of in the middle.
You're in the middle.
Because
I hit the lavish button. Yeah, basically. Yeah, it's fine.
Yeah. Like, I don't go crazy on stuff, but every once in a while, I splurge on stuff I don't really need. But I'm not, like, super frugal either. So,
no.
Yeah.
No.
Okay, fast or slow?
Slow.
Okay, I'll put myself halfway to slow, so it'll look 75% mark. So halfway to slow. Oh, Alex says, don't whisper. If you're going to input, like, say it loud.
Yeah, you can say it.
Alex says all the way to slow, but I'm going to leave it at halfway to slow.
Okay. No!
He's trying to move my mouse.
No! Let him answer
next. Okay, Luddite to technophile. I'm going to put myself, I'm not going to go to 100. I'm going to go to 95% technophile. Because I have, you know, there are a few things where I'm like curmudgeonly on that stuff. And I'm like, it's better to do it the old way. Brave to careful. I'm putting myself 80% careful.
Yeah. Yep. Yep. That's accurate. Yep.
Alex says 100% careful, but I'm going to put it at 80. 80% careful. There we go. Alex says 90. Well, I'm leaving it at 80. Next. Ludicrous to sensible. I'm going to put it at 75% ludicrous.
Yeah, basically. Yes, that makes sense.
Ludicrous speed. Okay, next. See, there was a movie reference.
Yes, yes.
Spaceballs.
Yes, I did watch that one.
Which I saw once in the theater when it first came out with my dad and my stepmom, and it was horrible. Okay, anyway. Wise to foolish.
Well, you're in the middle there.
Alex says foolish. I'm going to put 75% wise.
Nah, you're more wise than that now. Come on, not foolish. Come on.
Yeah, same Alex stuff. Is trying to say I should be all the way foolish. I'm putting it 75% wide. No, not wide.
Wide?
Not wide.
Okay.
Wise, not wide.
Okay. I know you've been putting on a few pounds, but...
You know, I'm a little bit above the weight I should be, but I wouldn't call myself wide.
Wide and foolish.
Okay. Next. Yeah, we're almost done here, folks. Dominant to submissive. I'm going to stick submissive. Myself in the middle. No, I'm going to stick myself in the middle. 50%. Modest to flamboyant. I'm going to put myself at 75% modest. You know, and this thing has sliders where you can go all the way from 0 to 100, but actually, like, I feel like that's giving a little bit too much choice. Like, I'm going, yeah. You know, 0, 75, 50, 25, 0. Yeah, wait, I got confused there somewhere. But I'm going in 25% increments, right? Like, it's harder to say, like, oh, I'm 82.5%. Like, what the hell? No.
You aren't?
Yeah.
Come on.
Okay. Strict to lenient. I'm going to put myself on the lenient side.
Strict.
Alex says I'm strict.
He doesn't have me, isn't that?
Indeed. He doesn't know how lucky he is. Okay.
No, not even, no idea.
Okay, yeah, like, which kid was up at 2 in the morning last night?
You.
Uh-huh, okay.
Okay,
masculine to feminine. I'll put myself at 80% masculine. I mean, you know, I'm not like some macho guy, but I don't think I'm that particularly feminine either.
I put myself like a little, not that high on that.
You didn't put it at 80? Like, okay.
No, but it's, I don't know, because it's not like I'm.
Okay, 75. Yeah. I'm down to 75. Okay, next.
All right.
Because, of course, I just said I only go in 25%
right.
increments.
And then you're violating the rules.
Yeah. Okay, blue collar to ivory tower. Definitely on the ivory tower side of it. I'm going to put 90% ivory tower.
Yes, sir. Yeah.
No, 100. You know, because really, come on.
But what about your collar? Your own, I own you, and your favorite color is blue.
Yeah, but it's not really about my collar. It's like what kind of job I have and how
have
I think.
A collar.
Okay, next. Yeah, I'm wearing a t-shirt. There's no collar on this thing. Well, there's...
There's
whatever.
Never a collar attached.
Okay,
shirts.
Charming or awkward? I'm definitely on the awkward side. Yes. Yeah, I'm no Rico Suave here, you know.
Yeah, no, that's not happening though.
Okay, angelic or demonic? So now, wait, are these the same questions you got?
Yes.
Okay. I was going to leave it in the middle.
Yes.
Okay, I'm leaving it in the middle. Orderly or chaotic? Now, this is very interesting. And I think I'm going to leave it in the middle because there are some things in my life.
That is true.
That is incredibly structured. And I insist on being like super structured and done in a very specific way.
True,
blah, blah, blah.
True.
But at the same time, if you guys could see my office right now, it's a freaking disaster. There's piles of crap everywhere. There's trash on the floor. There's dirty laundry. Like, there's this chaos surrounding me everywhere. Now, the thing is, I don't like the chaos. I like it better orderly, but I don't have it in me to do the work required to maintain the order.
Right.
So, therefore, entropy wins.
There you go.
So, I'm going to leave it in the middle because I like the orderly, but somehow things end up chaotic anyway, except in some very specific areas where I insist on maintaining that order. No. Alex is trying to change my answers again. No. Okay, next. And really, really, we're almost done. Ferocious to pacifist. I'm going to put it myself at...
You're into pacifist.
You know, and I realize I haven't always done the by 25% increments. I'm putting it myself at 90% pacifist. But I still, there's certain numbers that you stick to. Like, you know, I'm not putting 92 or 93 or 90, whatever. It's 90. Okay. It would be interesting to see a chart of the results here of, like, what numbers people pick and what numbers they don't pick.
Right, right. Actually, it does make a chart at the end.
Okay. I know it made the chart. You sent me the picture, but not of like your particular results, but of like aggregate how everybody does, because I would highly suspect that everybody picks more round numbers and very few like numbers sevens and
actually
numbers.
right
yeah, the last digit of set, like yeah, exactly. Alex knows seven. If you ask people to give you a random number from 1 to 10,
3,
like most of the time. Like, I shouldn't use the word most, but 7 is by far the most commonly picked number when you ask people to pick a random number 6. Between 1 and 10.
6. 6. 6.
While we were doing this, recording the show, it seems that Greg...
Yeah.
Before you give your result, we have a result submitted from one of our listeners, okay? Who did it? I posted on Slack.
I just looked. On our Slack, yes.
His match is C-3PO.
That's oh, wow, awesome.
Greg, that's fantastic.
He says, I don't think that's good.
There you go. Oh, that's fantastic. Okay.
Okay, I'm 90% pacifist. Last question, loyal, yes, or traitorous? I'm going to put myself at 90% loyal.
You're very loyal.
90% loyal. Okay, next. Is it time for the results? Let's see. Wait. Okay, would you be willing to ask a few more questions? I'm not going to do the optional survey.
Do the optional survey. Okay, yes. All right.
Okay, so get results. Loading. Oh, okay. Daniel Jackson from Stargate. From Stargate SG-1.
Daniel Jackson? Well, I actually just pulled up because I had not done this and pulled up the full match list. Okay. All right. Which he came up with. I did have Julian Basher first, but I did notice also that there was another Deep Space Nine character, Jadzia Dax.
Yes, Jadzia Dax. Okay, yeah.
Okay. Is that any better?
No.
And then, wait, which one is John Hammond from Jurassic Park? Which one is John Hammond?
Wasn't he the guy who owned the island?
Oh, he's the guy that owned the island. Okay, that'd probably be a better match. Okay, and then the next guy was Tony Stark.
Tony Stark, you say?
Yes.
Okay, yeah. I can see the Jurassic Park guy.
Yeah, I can see the Jurassic Park guy, definitely. Yeah, I think it's a much better match than the other ones. Right. Okay. There you go. I got Bruce Wayne at 16.
Yeah, so anyway, I got Daniel Jackson from Stargate SG-1. I like that. That's good.
Can I see a picture of this Daniel Jackson? But I'm like C-3PO. And by the way, number three that Grunt came up was Bruce Banner from, you know, basically he matched up to the Incredible Hulk. Number three.
Okay. Yeah.
Oh God. So okay, so I'm not sure who the guy is. If you could send me the picture, it'd be great. But who are your other matches, by the way?
Full match list. Here are my top five. And I actually only recognize the first one. Daniel Jackson from Stargate SG-1, 87%.
Uh-huh.
Leonard Hofstadter from The Big Bang Theory. I've never actually watched that show.
You also matched up. Hey, by the way, you also had that match with, what's his name, with Greg. He's also got him at number two.
Oh, okay.
Interesting.
Oh, yeah. And then Abed Nader from Community. Then Amy Fowler from Big Bang Theory and Samwell Tarly from Game of Thrones. Those are my top five.
Interesting group of people. I have no idea. What the hell? Daniel Jackson is a fictional character in the military science fiction. He doesn't look. He's another doctor. Why the hell are we all coming up as doctors?
Well, this one, he's not a medical doctor. He's a researcher, like an anthropologist, an expert in ancient languages and stuff like that.
Ah, okay.
Stargate SG-1 is actually one of the television shows I'm watching right now, slowly but surely.
Another show that I've not watched, to add to the list of the shows that I've not watched. But anyway, all right, so there you go. All right, so you're Daniel Jackson. I'm apparently some guy who I never heard of, but I got a third match that looks better, and Greg is C-3PO. God. Oh, God. Okay.
Okay. Well, I was going to do one of my movie reviews, but I think this has probably been enough.
Yes, this has been enough.
So we will save one of my movie reviews for next week.
Yes.
And so we will take a break and we will come back and we will talk about how would this whole pandemic response have gone if somebody other than Trump had been in charge. And we'll just play out that hypothetical scenario and see where we go with it. Okay. We will be back right after this. C-3PO.
Beep, 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 boop.
That's not what C-3PO does.
No, that's R2-D2. Human-cyborg relations. I'm C-3PO. Human-cyborg relations.
Perfect.
I can translate into 17,351 different languages.
Back after this.
AfricaFocus.org features high-quality analysis and progressive advocacy on African issues with a particular attention to priority issues affecting the entire continent. The heart of the website is the Africa Focus Bulletin. Other features include regularly updated Africa-related news feeds and a set of country pages with extensive background and links on each African country. If you follow African issues or are even curious, visit AfricaFocus.org today.
Okay, we are back. And I mentioned we had a question from a listener. It was Mark via Facebook. And here's what he said. Hey, Sam, I have a question for the corner.
I never heard ourselves being called the corner.
There you go.
Okay, go ahead.
Are we in some ways lucky that Trump is the president during this period? Because if it were a Democratic president, especially if it was Obama, Republicans would not have moved as quickly as they did to help the situation, or would we have not been here? So let's start with, I guess, I don't know if it matters that much or whether it was Obama or Hillary or somebody else. I think the main point here, and I think this is absolutely correct, is that we've seen even how it is, how partisan the divide here is, with the Republicans saying this is no big deal. This is not, you know, they're slowly moving away from that. But we certainly had a long period of time where Democrats were taking this very seriously, saying strong actions were needed. Republicans were saying, no, not really. This is hype. This is whatever. And that's even with, you know, Donald Trump as president. And even after he started to say, okay, yeah, there's something here, we have to do something, blah, blah, blah. You still see those divides continuing. I still see MAGA folks all the time minimizing this and saying it's not a big deal and why are we destroying the economy over it and Donald Trump is letting himself be controlled by the deep state bureaucrats and all this kind of stuff. But can you imagine, like, let's say it was Hillary Clinton or Obama, I guess. This would all be so much worse, right? In terms of, like, let's say the one difference that I think we've said before is, you know, if you had another president, they maybe would not have done a great job. This was hard no matter what, but they wouldn't have tried to deny it in for so long. And I think to some degree that's true. I mean, I think Donald Trump very definitely, the whole sort of Republican establishment at this point is so anti-science and so unwilling to listen to experts that, you know, there is something built in there. But frankly, it's not just them. I mean, there's a lot of denial in it anyway. Even like the scientists at the CDC were very slow to sort of come out with the magnitude of what this is. Now, there's a question of how much of that was pressure from above, but I think, you know, there's a lot of sort of institutional inertia that makes it hard to recognize that, oh yeah, this really is super, super bad. And so I think you'd have some of that anyway.
But look, you can't overlook the significant things that this administration did that undermined being able to respond to a crisis like this.
Yeah.
Starting with the disbanding of the pandemic response team.
Yeah. Yes. Starting with things, just to be clear, things that were like way before like the last couple months.
Right. They disbanded the pandemic response team. They had withdrawn even some people that were from the CDC that were embedded in China that worked in like monitoring these kinds of situations.
They took the plan that the Obama administration had written to cover exactly this kind of scenario and blew it off and threw it on a shelf somewhere.
Exactly. So they did that as well. They continuously ignored the warnings from the intelligence community as well.
Yep.
Okay. About this, because the intelligence community had come to them in early January to tell them, hey, we know about the, so you didn't have the pandemic as yet and whatever, but you had the intelligence community. So imagine if you had a president that listened to information and got information from those three sources at once. What do you think the sense of urgency would have been to put together a response in January?
Yeah. I think that, you know, they're probably, like, if you had Hillary Clinton there or you had Barack Obama, they would have immediately recognized this as a serious issue and would have spun up some things very quickly. However,
not sure if it would have been able to contain it.
Yeah. Well, I don't know how well they would have been able to execute on that anyway, because there would have been political concerns. I mean, one example, just to sort of do the parallel, is Obama being told about the Russian interference in the 2016 election. You know, he went to the Republicans and was like, look, this is serious. We need to put out, can we do something bipartisan on this? And Mitch McConnell was like, no, absolutely not. This is political. We're not going to cooperate. And Obama backed off.
But two different things.
I'm not saying that they would have played out exactly the same way, but I am saying that whichever Democrat was in charge would be thinking about the political ramifications of how this would play out. Like, for instance, let's just say some of the things that could be done relatively quietly, by the way, like, let's say we had a president, Hillary Clinton, and she got the notice of this on January 2nd and was like, oh, crap, let's pull out that pandemic response plan.
Right.
And start like, you know, massively acquiring PPE for the hospitals.
Correct.
You know, and let's start putting together the plan. Like, they might not have put anything to the public quite yet at that point, but they would have started some internal preparations to get things moving and stuff. But if you got to the point where we're like, okay, the right thing to do here is to institute a nationwide shelter-at-home policy to prevent the spread of this disease. Can you imagine? I mean, look at the pushback Donald Trump has gotten on even the limited things he's done. Look at the pushback the various Democratic governors who've done this have gotten. Can you imagine Hillary Clinton advocating for that kind of nationwide order? What kind of response she would have gotten?
But the thing is, what are the things that you can do beforehand that enable you not to get to that level? Because if you have the preparation, if you understood how contagious it was, if you had prepared and decided to take more serious actions in terms of cases that arrive, people that travel, tracking, tracing, isolating, which has
Some of the decisions that were made early on by the CDC to not accept a WHO test, to do this, to do that. Now, there's some question about how much of that was like directed from above versus came from dysfunction at the CDC. But if you had presidential level attention to this from day one,
right?
I mean, that's actually one of the functions of the president, is to recognize when the bureaucracy is being dysfunctional on something important and rip apart the red tape and make them do what they need to do.
But here, the one thing, like right now, which is one of the biggest issues, which is the acquisition and distribution of personal protective equipment, which this administration has, I don't know, has created a mass confusion about this and not had even a plan to how to acquire, distribute to the areas of greater need. And basically it's created a massive free for all.
Not even that they don't have a plan. It's almost as if they are completely institutionally opposed to even having a role in it.
Correct. Yes.
You know, and that's part of the sort of federalism. It should be up to the states, whatever.
But that has traditionally been a role of like FEMA. If you have a disaster.
Like I mentioned last week, though, I don't think this is some sort of principled Donald Trump stance on federalism. This is Donald Trump has no idea what to do, doesn't want any of the responsibility, wants to let somebody else handle it.
So we've created this massive, insane free-for-all. Look, I had posted an interview from CNBC. Donald Trump has been ripping into the CEO of 3M. And the thing is that the CEO of 3M today on TV went and basically said, you know what? Nobody from this administration has talked to me at all about this, okay? It's not like they reached out to me and said, let's do this, let's do that. No, they ramped up production as fast as possible. They're trying to get product out. One of the things is that a company like that, which a lot of companies are set up this way, which 3M produces product, but they don't have the infrastructure to deliver it to end users. They just don't.
Right.
All they can deliver is to a group of distributors and wholesalers, and then they distribute down to the end users. They're just not set up that way. They can't take orders from that many. That's why there are these companies that are dealers and distributors, and there's a few large ones in the U.S. Problem is that, you know, you start with the fact that they were manufacturing much less of these before this pandemic started, and apparently that there were a whole bunch of resellers down the chain that had started like stockpiling this stuff when they saw that this was happening earlier in the year, and then have created a chaos in terms of inventory. And now whenever inventory is coming available, then everybody's bidding for it like they're going into crazy bidding wars instead of like, say, for example, FEMA saying, okay, fine, 3M, look, like right now, we're going to take over the distribution of these products. We have these warehouses are going to set up in these locations that are a critical need. You know, you just distribute to here, and then we will deliver to the hospitals that need care, which is something that happens in like major disasters, like hurricanes or whatever. That is what the role that they do. They acquire the supplies, you move them, and you distribute them. But this administration, including FEMA, has been horrible. They have not been able to deal with any issue, any disaster. Houston, you know, the Texas hurricane, the Puerto Rico hurricane, all of them. It's all been a complete complete disaster. And when you talk about other presidents, even if another president, what would another president would have done if it isn't this president? Well, look, I'm going to put front and center George W. Bush with Katrina. Okay.
Yeah.
Look, at Katrina, okay, at the beginning, the wrong people were there and distribution was a problem. But you know, one of the things they recognized is, we got the wrong people here. Let's put in somebody that knows how the fuck to do this, and let's get the situation resolved. And they switched the people out into the right people that have the right experience and took charge and made sure that supplies started flowing. Yes, at first it was bad, but eventually they recognized that they needed to put the right people in place to do the correct job. This administration, at this point, hasn't done that. They put Jared Kushner in there. He was talking about this.
I mean, look, I think there are two different parts of this to talk about. One is the spectrum of like just competent versus incompetent. Like, forget about Republican versus right. Democrat and who was
just
in there.
Competent versus incompetent.
Like,
yes.
This administration from top to bottom, left to right, is based on the idea that you are put in positions of power if you are loyal, if you suck up to the president, or maybe if you throw money in the right places. Like,
correct.
The idea
Betsy
DeVos. of expertise as part of that equation is out the window.
Like, it's a joke. Yeah.
In the few cases where they were even thinking about that at the beginning of the administration, Donald Trump at a certain point decided that was a mistake. Why the hell did I hire these people who had experience and knew what they were talking about? They never do what I want. They just push back and tell me what I want is stupid and blah, blah, blah. So they're all
because
gone.
Because he is stupid.
Well, yes. Yeah. Yes. So those people are all gone. And now it's just a bunch of yes men who just, and most of them are men, who have zero idea how to do anything competently. And so, you know, that's spectrum number one, where I, you know, look, forget about Republican or Democrat. Just if you had any traditional politician who was hiring people based on some minimal level of competence, and look, just to be clear, all politicians, all presidents have hired people because of their political loyalties to some degree or another. I mean, you know, you know, but there has generally been a respect for the notion that you want somebody who kind of knows what they're doing. I mean, and the standards are different depending on the position, right? Like, you know, there are certain ambassadorships that always have gone to high level donors,
right?
You know, because it's a nice cushy job and it's not that critical and blah, blah, blah. There are certain cabinet positions even where it's like, yeah, you know, who cares about Secretary of the Interior? Let's just put this guy in.
Yeah, that's right. Know? That's very common. Yes,
you
absolutely.
Know, but for the sort of critical positions, you know, there has typically been the notion that, yes, you put in somebody who has some experience and knows what the hell they're doing. And as you mentioned, the George W. Bush example, he had put somebody that was sort of that kind of political appointment in charge of FEMA.
Right.
And it became clear very quickly when the shit hit the fan that that was a bad choice. And he fired that person and brought somebody else in.
Who was competent.
You know, and maybe a little bit too slow, and maybe he shouldn't have brought that first person in the first place, but, you know, at least they learned. So the first thing is the spectrum of competence. The second is that there is no escaping that the Republican-Democrat divide actually is important here these days. Like, if there was a Democrat in charge, there would be a significant portion of Republican politicians and certainly the Republican population at large following their lead that would resist and rebel against anything the Democrat said, no matter what, you know? And so actually, because of that combination, I feel like if you had to pick an ideal president to take us through this kind of scenario, what you would want is an actually competent Republican.
Well, you mean in the scenario how Congress was structured?
Well, yeah, with the political divide we have, with Congress structured it the way it was, because if you had, like, I feel like the Democrats, even if there was a Republican in charge, would, if the scientific evidence was saying, yes, this is real, this is critical. All of the experts were saying we need to operate in this way. And the Republican president was like, yes, I listen to my experts. We have to do this. The Democrats would be like, hell yeah, we're on board too.
Well, let me be clear. We have an example of that. It's not like it's a hypothetical. Look, this happened during the 2008 financial crisis. Mm. Okay. It was at the time, I'm pretty sure that there was a majority both in the House and Senate. Okay. From the Democrats, they had earned it in the 2006 election. Okay. They didn't have the filibuster majority. They had a majority. If I remember, I mean,
yeah, I think you're right.
They had majority in both. And you know, George W. Bush had come in and said, look, this is a financial crisis. It's going to undermine the entire economy. We could, you know, and everything. And the Democrats passed bills in order to make sure that, you know, the crisis, we were able to deal with the crisis. And so that's, I mean, what you're saying is that if the role were reversed and it was a Democrat, that probably Congress may have eventually done something, but it would have been.
Well, no, I think if you had the situation with a Democratic president urging strong actions immediately, like back in the middle of January, or even early February, or for that matter.
But most of those actions could have been taken by the thing is that the actions then could have been taken for the most part by the executive.
There are certain things that could have been done by the executive. I'm not necessarily saying Congress per se. I am saying that you would have had the Republicans raising holy hell over anything a Democrat did that was above and beyond to try to react to this kind of scenario. Like I said, if like a Democratic president had said, let's shut down the national economy in order to save us from this pandemic, the Republicans would be 100% about, you know, look at the Democrats destroying the economy. I mean, hell, they're doing that now anyway, even with Donald Trump in charge, right?
Right.
That would be so much worse if there was a Democratic president. What you sort of attenuate that a little bit because you have a Republican president, but because we have Donald Trump, he's also completely incompetent and unable to handle the scenario. If you had an actually competent Republican, I saw one person on Twitter saying the ideal president for this scenario would have been.
So you had Mitt Romney.
If you had Mitt Romney in charge. Yeah. The person on Twitter I saw was mentioning George H.W. Bush. Like this would be the kind of scenario where he feels like this was a Democrat.
George H.W. does a slam. Well, H.W. also got a lot of heat for his response to Andrew. But Andrew, the reason why it wasn't so much competence that it was another disaster. Now, one of the things sometimes about your reaction to a disaster, it's very difficult to get a very quick reaction to disaster that exceeds your preparation.
Well, yeah.
And Andrew did that at that time.
I mean, bottom line for all of these things, and this is where, again, like, I don't care who it was, whether it was Hillary Clinton and she hadn't thrown away the pandemic plan and had people study, whatever. Whenever you have something rapid like this, there is a portion of like there is a reaction time component that you can't expect something like the federal government to turn on a dime to address these kinds of things. They will take some time. And even if you had like, you know, a Mitt Romney or a George H.W. Bush or whatever, they would still move more slowly than the situation really warranted. And you would still have lots of people dead. Would they do a lot better than Donald Trump? I think so. But, you know, and I think, again, like to me, the scenario that would have been most likely to get the most effective action as quick as possible would have been a competent Republican president. And this is like, you know, at this point, I'm a solid Democrat. I would not have voted for Mitt Romney over Hillary Clinton or anything like that.
Right. Neither would I. Right. We're just talking scenarios.
But playing out the scenario, I feel like if you'd had a Democrat in charge with the same sort of otherwise leaving the political layout the same. I mean, just saying, you know, change a few votes and Hillary Clinton won instead of Donald Trump. Everything else is identical. Assuming she wasn't already impeached by and removed
right
by now as well. Cause you know, who knows? Yeah, of course that kind of stuff would have been going on too. But, I feel like there would have been so much resistance to whatever she was trying to do in response to this as an overreach and Democrats trying to take advantage of the situation to gain power. And I can't believe the federal government is doing this. It should be up to the states, et cetera, that I don't think that I think they would have done better than Donald Trump, but still not all that great. I think the best scenario would have been like, if you had a Romney or somebody who could bring the Democrats would go along because they recognized it's the right thing to do because the scientists were telling them so, and the Republicans would reluctantly go along because it's their team.
Right. Yeah.
And so I think that's the combination that would have gotten you the best results. But yeah, as much as we're like, you know, Donald Trump is destroying the situation, I'm not sure Hillary Clinton would have.
Well, look, I'm not going to mince words. I'm sorry, but if Hillary Clinton had both a majority in the Senate and the House, it would be a better situation. My
that was not my hypothetical. My hypothetical was everything else the same.
No. But I'm going to say my hypothetical is if a Democratic president with the current state of the legislature. However, I haven't thought about what you were talking through. Look, these kinds of situations. The thing that makes them be able to be handled well is, number one, be cognizant of the science and your experts. Yep. Quickly. Number two, to be able to take fast action. And number three, to have the competent people assigned.
And just flat out leadership as well.
That's the one that I was going to. It's a leadership with compassion.
Like having someone who can come out and say, look, here's the situation. Here's what we've got to do. I know it's going to be painful, but we've got to do it. And here's why. And explain it and all of that kind of stuff. Because it's not just competency of the lower people. It's competency of the person on top and their ability to communicate that kind of stuff. And that's what's completely absent in this scenario.
But it's leadership, but it's also compassion. Dude, I mean, oh, my God. Look.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Our president has zero compassion for anybody.
Yeah.
It's horrible.
I mean, he basically, when asked about the respirator situation in New York and how they're probably going to be out within a few days today, was asked, well, do you think this is did you do something wrong? Is there something you can do for him? And he basically said, well, they should have thought of that and gotten the respirators earlier.
Right.
Or ventilators, whatever.
But even beyond that, look, I can't remember what reporter a couple of weeks ago asked him to say, hey, what do you say to a nation that is like scared and concerned?
Yeah. And he said, fuck you. It was a bad question.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean,
he is just incapable of answering that kind of question. Because, you know, look, I mean, we'll talk a little bit about this in the psychological effects thing, but you're starting to see all kinds of stories about the people who are dying. And, you know, and their families who are being ripped apart by this kind of stuff. Donald Trump is not capable of coming up and talking about, Bill Clinton's I feel your pain. You can't even imagine Donald Trump doing like that. Obama, after the school shooting at Sandy Hook, like tearing up and crying about it at the podium. You can't imagine Donald Trump doing that kind of stuff. And that's actually the kind of stuff that is important in this kind of, if we go back further, Ronald Reagan after the Challenger disaster, you know, if you want a Republican doing it,
right.
You know,
right.
Every single president we've had has had this skill to some degree or another. I mean, I don't know about Richard Nixon, but you know, but all of these others that we've had, it's certainly in my memory of politics, some of them have been better at it, some of them have been worse at it, but they've all done it to some degree. I mean, you had George W. Bush after 9/11, standing on the rubble, making his statement about, how we're going to get the people who did this. You know, Donald Trump can't do any of that stuff. It's just, he's just not capable.
No, he can't. He's just incapable. And, but He's also not working with any foreign governments, even our allies, and creating like chaos in that way as well.
Yep.
Because we don't have all the resources to do this, right? And so when you see this whole thing where, in terms of masks and whatever, first he's telling the local governments, he's outbidding them, outcompeting them. He's saying they can't get them. He's saying whatever. But then, you know, you've got other countries complaining that the federal government is outbidding them for the masks. And I'm like, what the fuck are they outbidding them for the masks for? Who are they sending them to?
Yeah.
And then they're telling, like, you know, 3M, for example, that you can't ship stuff to Canada and Germany.
Yeah.
And they're like, here's the problem is that our medical supply chain is global. And so there's a whole bunch of things that we also depend on them for as well. So you're starting this war for products instead of like having some type of, you know, working together.
Well, yeah, I mean, absolutely. Like last week, we talked about how there's no sort of national coordination and it's really needed because you have all these states competing against each other. But actually, we should be filling the vacuum on a global level or helping do it to say, look, this is a worldwide problem.
Right.
Let's coordinate. Let's figure out which places need the most at which time and how to get it there.
Right.
And organize the global supply chains to say, okay, Italy's bad this week. We expect New York will be bad next week. Let's make sure the supplies go to the right place this week and next week.
Right.
And oh, by the way, India and Central Africa are going to be really bad next month. Let's make sure we're thinking about that now too, you know, et cetera.
But that's not what's happening. It's just a massive just clusterfuck. And what we're doing is just, you know, creating a situation. We're just making a situation worse.
Yeah. Yes. I mean, look, you can't imagine, like, you know, today, you know, at Donald Trump's daily conference, you know, he tried to...
I can't believe that you watch any of those. I can't do that.
You know, I've been watching much, much less and listening to little bits, but mostly I get like second, I see the news report and then I watch the clip or whatever. I
can't even watch the clips. I'm sorry.
But my point is, again, comparing to other presidents, like at today's, Donald Trump started talking about the CDC's new recommendation to wear face coverings when you're out in public because, you know, we've talked about how the CDC screwed up on their recommendations on masks and all of that kind of stuff. But now they're coming around and saying, look, you know, it is potentially useful. It'll help you from spreading it if you unknowingly have it.
Right.
It may provide some protection in the other way as well, although less. And just generally, let's do that for a while. That's our recommendation. Donald Trump read that it was their recommendation and then said, yeah, but it's just a recommendation. It's optional. I'm not going to do it.
Great.
Can you imagine any other president in the last 40 years doing that?
None. I mean, no president that I know that was alive during my life.
Yeah. Yeah. No, this is not that part of it is not a Republican Democrat part. That is a, you know, Donald Trump thing.
That is just Donald Trump is just an awful human being part.
Yeah. I mean, would Hillary Clinton have handled that better? Of course.
Well, let's go through the list. Hillary Clinton? Yep. Okay. All right. Well, Barack Obama? Sure. George W. Bush? Yeah. Clinton? Yeah. H.W. Bush? Yeah. Reagan? Sure. Carter? Yeah. Nixon? What do you think?
You forgot Ford.
I skipped over Ford. Ford?
He'd be fine.
Nixon?
Even Nixon. Even Nixon. Absolutely. Like Nixon had his issues, but this was not one of them.
This was not one of them.
He might have had some empathy problems as well, to be honest, but he would know like how to react to this kind of situation.
But he knew how to listen. He had empathy problems, but he's kind of like his empathy problem wasn't that he didn't know when he had to do it. It's just that for him that it was kind of forced. Okay? But he knew if he had to be at a funeral and the right word to say and that kind of stuff in public, yes, he would do that. Did it look like he was kind of, you know, grudgingly doing it? Yeah, but he knew he had to do it. This guy won't even grudgingly, can't even do it.
Right.
He'll throw, I'm sure that at some point we'll get him in New York and he'll be throwing rolls of
toilet paper.
Paper towels. And
no, it'll be toilet paper this time.
It'll be toilet paper this time, yeah.
Okay, so I think that kind of covers it for the hypotheticals of what if we had somebody other than Trump. So let's take another break. And we'll come back and we'll talk a bit about the sort of psychological toll of all this. Back after this.
Hey, we know when you listen to this show, you have thoughts about what we say. You probably want to vent about what we got wrong or what we left out, right? Or maybe you want to suggest some future topics we just haven't gotten to yet. Well then, tell us all about it. Right now, there are 4 ways to get feedback to us. First, you can go to the Curmudgeon's Corner Facebook page and leave comments on the post where we announce all the new episodes. Second, you could go to curmudgeonscorner.com, that's with a hyphen, and leave a comment there instead. Third, both Yvonne and I are on Twitter. You can talk to me at Abulsme, A-B-U-L-S-M-E, or Yvonne at I-M-B-O, I-M-B-O-U. Finally, if you don't want to make your comments in a public forum like that, just email me directly at abulsme@abulsme.com. Again, that's A-B-U-L-S-M-E. But, you know, if you don't want us to mention your feedback on the show, be sure to say so, because otherwise we're probably going to respond to your comments on a future show, because, you know, that's what makes the discussion. Thanks, and we look forward to hearing from you.
Okay, we are back. So, and I just want to start by saying, by all this, I mean, like, everything. I mean, there's the whole, like, everybody's staying at home, and, like, I've seen lots of people sort of talk about the being stir-crazy just from being cooped up at home. I'll start out by saying, look, you know, the being home part doesn't bother me at all. I like being home. I don't like commuting. I don't feel like I need to be running out and interacting with other people. I'm an introvert, not an extrovert. That stuff doesn't bother me. A lot of people are bothered by that and really need sort of the human contact and being out there and that kind of stuff. But I'll say that doesn't matter. Like I've been affected anyway, not by that, but by sort of the constant barrage of bad news and sort of psychologically stressing things. I mentioned at the end of the last segment, you know, we're seeing more and more of these stories of people impacted by the disease. In the last few days, I've seen stories of, you know, a 13-year-old kid who died of it and his parents weren't allowed in to see him while he was dying. Same thing with, there was an interview earlier today with somebody whose 40-year-old husband died the same way. All of these kinds of scenarios, you're hearing, you know, more and more celebrities or of various levels that are dying almost every day. You know, and this starts like adding up and you get this sort of fear factor as well of like, you know, oh my God, I'm holed up inside, but if I go outside, you know, if I go to the grocery store, am I putting myself at risk? Am I putting my family at risk? If I answer the door for a delivery, is that risky? And do I have to think about that and all this kind of stuff? And that stuff takes a toll. I mean, like, I found myself like, you know, today was, it was a Friday. And, you know, I'm working from home, like, you know, a lot of people are. But I found myself like after like just 3 or 4 hours of work, I found myself completely drained already. And it's not because the work stuff was particularly stressful, but it was just like, I couldn't keep my mind on work. I was like, it was just, I felt like, okay, I just have to do something else. I have to like, whatever. And I know it's related to the overall situation that's going on right now. That's just putting a extra level of stress and tension on everything. I mean, there've been a few occasions where I've snapped at people in my family about things that didn't really matter that much. And it's like, yeah, okay. That stuff's happening. You mentioned not watching Donald Trump's press conferences. I've found myself like, you know, we've talked on this show before about how with all the impeachment stuff going on and everything, I was like, you know, live news, live news, live news, live news all the time. Over the course of this week, I've had to say, like, no more live news. Like, I mean, not no more. I can't break the addiction completely, but I've been like, okay, I'm going to watch some of my TV shows. You know, I'm going to put something else on. I'm going to, like, not look at the news for a little while.
Right.
Just a few hours here and there. Like, you know, and maybe it would be wise for me to take a whole day off and just, like, not look at any of that shit, because it, like, it is stressful. Every new update that comes out, every time there's a new tally of how many dead there are and how much worse it's getting in New York and all this kind of stuff, it takes a tally. Just paying attention to it.
Well, let's be clear. My week, you know, look, it seems like it was many longer ago, like right now, because this week to me has moved like slow, like a frickin' molasses. But look, on Sunday, I had mentioned that I had my brother had his two father-in-law and mother-in-law had been positive with coronavirus. Well, I guess, you know, we haven't had a show since that happened, but they both died on Sunday.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, it's just very, you know, I mean, they didn't last a week. And I had a employee that is in the hospital diagnosed with it in Brazil. He's stable. He's doing okay. But it's just, I don't know, you know, like this week, the gym that we worked at, laid off all their employees. They don't know when they're going to reopen. So they laid off everybody.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, Disney Parks announced this week that they are furloughing all of their employees, all of them.
Right.
Every single one. I mean, every single fucking Disney Parks employee, including their executives, are being furloughed. Delta today said that right now they're losing $60 million a day.
Yeah.
A day. A day.
And this is, by the way, I just want to say this is important. I was talking about how I'm stressed about my situation. I still have a job. I could pay my mortgage this month. I have no question about bringing home the groceries I need to do. There are a lot of people where all of those things, they've lost their job. They're not being able to pay their rent or mortgage. And they're worrying about where the next meal can come from, too.
Yeah. And I'm like, you know, look, they. You know, I am sure that there has to be some belt tightening at our company related to this. I'm not sure exactly what the heck it's going to be, but at some point there's going to have to be. I actually talked to my friend who happens to work at the FBI, and she was just tested this week for coronavirus because they're making these FBI agents have to go to the office. They don't have any protection, and an agent that she worked with was tested positive for coronavirus.
Yeah.
She's a single mom with a child, okay, like right now, who can't go to school. And right now she's working 1 week and not working the other week in order to be able to alternate for childcare because their child can't go to school or can't go to any childcare.
And again, to sort of say, like, yeah, I'm bitching about my situation, but so many people have it so much worse. Like that example, I mean, there's the people who are, you know, are delivery people or working at grocery stores or stuff like that, let alone the healthcare professionals who are having to deal with this in hospitals. Like, that's unimaginable to me at this point.
And I've used that now a few times, the delivery services, and I'm basically, I don't know. I mean, I don't know how much money I'm going to make it this year either because, you know, but I'm just throwing money at them.
Yeah.
I literally have just thrown money at them because I'm just like, I don't know. These guys are going out there and doing this. So I don't have to, you know, do this. So I'm just freaking throwing money at them. but it's just, it's just a constant barrage of bad news. It's just, and right, you know, it's just no end in sight. I got to admit, I mean, look, I had been, you know, snapping a couple of times to try to do homeschooling as well and other stuff, you know, that's been going, you know. And I don't know, at the end of this week, I just felt really just, because it's very different staying at home right now that it's not just staying at home.
Right.
Because it's not like I'm staying at home by choice, and it's not like the same stuff that I used to watch even on TV. The fact that the entire sports world has come to a grinding halt. You know, normally at this time of the year, it's late in the basketball season, the playoffs are about to start, I get very entertained by that. There's no basketball. There's a frickin' NBA 2K tournament where they had these two clowns try to play a game and they weren't doing a very good job of it.
Yeah.
And I'm just like, this is what we got. That's it. You know? I mean, like you said, like right now, I it's not like we're not, thankfully, those people that have lost their job, but I know a whole bunch of people that have. Already. And it's just, it's really taking a toll. And let's be clear, the fact that I'm trying to see where the hell this gets better.
Yeah. Cause it's clearly like, I don't see anybody. Even the deniers sort of admit at this point, it's going to get worse before it gets better.
Right.
Now, like a lot of the models have us getting to sort of the peak badness in the US in terms of number of people dying this month. Like, depending on what state you're in, like, I think the forecast that we were talking about last time from the University of Washington have Washington State hitting our peak number of deaths per day, like within a week of now. New York's like 2 weeks out. I believe I checked Florida. Florida's a whole month out before you get to your worst
May.
Part.
Yeah, they're saying May.
And other states are at different points of that, and certainly other countries are in different parts of that as well. But even those, like, their models, a lot depends on unknowns that we don't know. It could be worse. It could be better. There's a lot of unknown there, but it's clear it's getting worse before it gets better. So you're not at the point where you're like, oh man, okay, we got over it. We got over the bad part. It's going to get better from here on out. No, we're not there yet. It's still getting worse.
Yeah. Nancy Pelosi was on TV today and she did a 15-minute interview on TV. And I mean, she's saying that there's going to be another bill passed to help businesses and so forth and so on. But look, man, I mean, even, you know, at that right now, look,
just to be clear, like she says that, but actually McConnell has said that the things she's talking about for that bill are non-starters. So there's a long way to go for that.
No,
kind of
But she actually separated, she went, and if you look at that 15-minute interview, the things that she's separating those, okay? There was two things. There's one that we're talking infrastructure. There's another one simply to extending the current things that they agreed to, like right now. And she mentioned that is probably something that, you know, which is just, look, this may not be better in the amount of time that we, you know, for the money that we've provided right now. And so we'll need to do a second phase of it and expand more money for small businesses and for others and so forth and so on.
Assuming Congress even like is able to physically get back into session and do the stuff they need to in a few weeks without like getting them, you know, without infecting the whole Congress.
So
I don't know. So how are you dealing with it, Yvonne? I mean, I know like
I had been for the most part pretty okay. I just don't know why. It's just the end of this week. It's just, you know, it's hard.
Yeah.
It was hard today. But look, I mean, I hate seeing this many people like just struggling. Look, like I managed to get a supply of masks from Hong Kong, and actually from Singapore. We got them from Singapore, shipped to Hong Kong, and then here. They actually made it pretty quick in 2 days. But what am I doing with them? So I've just prepared like Ziploc bags to give them out to a whole bunch of friends of mine that I know that have got nothing.
Yeah. We had a small supply of N95s that Brandy had for...
I'm just a surgical mask, not the N95s, because...
Yeah, like, anyway, we had these anyway. She's given a handful to one of the medical establishments around here. There are a few others, and I think the other types of masks as well. There's a friend of hers whose husband is starting chemotherapy as a cancer patient, and their doctors were like, we don't have anything. And
right. He needs protection.
So, yeah. So we've been giving these things away. I mean, are we keeping a couple for ourselves? Yeah, probably.
Well, yeah, I'm keeping some for myself, but I'm trying to make sure that I've got a supply for me, but I don't need that many. So I managed to get as many as I was able to get. And I'm like, I make sure it our security guards. So we have our security gate here, our condo. I wanted to make sure that they were able to still work, you know, and so so they have masks and gloves and hand sanitizer and all of that, so they can, you know, so they can work as safely as possible. You know, I realized that I offered some stuff to our maintenance employee, but he's like, dude, I don't interact with anybody. All I'm doing is outside. So he's just like, don't worry about it. I don't need really anything. I'm not meeting people. I'm like, yeah, okay, good point. You know, but I'm just, but yeah, I just, I don't know. It's, I wish it's just, it seems like.
You want to look for any little thing you can do. Like, cause for the most part of the problem here is everybody feels helpless. You know, there's like, this is happening and there's jack you can do.
We've got an entire, you know, large group of people that have just lost their jobs. Everybody was shocked. I had called out this 10 million person number, and people were shocked when that number came to fruition this week. And I was like, how the hell could you be shocked? I mean, with all the businesses that closed all at once. I mean, it's 10 million people, and I feel like it's you know, the people who were advocating to, just power through it to save the economy.
Right.
Man, we are fucked either way. So on one side, we're going to save lives and. Right. And the way to do that is to add an incredible burden of debt to our country. OK.
And just to be clear, if we had decided to do nothing and just let everybody die who was going to die, that would also have a significant impact on the economy. It's not like that wouldn't have mattered.
Oh, yeah. Oh, no. But I was going to say is that on the other hand. You were talking about having something that still would have had a huge impact on the economy, as you're saying, you know, in order to make the economic impact somewhat less worse.
Yeah.
So it's just there were no good options at this point in time. Were there options that could have made this less worse? That's what we talked about, whether it was somebody else's president.
Yeah, like if you had taken really, really aggressive action in early January,
right?
Could it have made a difference?
I think that the answer is yes. I mean, if you see the situation, say, in South Korea, in Japan, for example, let's take those two. Obviously taking very serious action does make a difference. Okay.
Now, and just to be clear, I mean, this is a fundamental property of things that have exponential growth is that tiny changes in the initial conditions can make huge differences in the outcome.
Correct.
So even today, in the models of what's going to happen in the next few weeks, like doing a little bit better or a little bit worse today
has huge variations.
A massive change to what happens a couple weeks out. You know, so, you know, when people are talking about, like, you know, even a little bit of improvement in social distancing, you don't have to be perfect. Even a little bit of difference potentially can cut off a huge percentage of the potential deaths a couple weeks out. Like, and so, yes, early action makes an incredibly large difference, but even action now makes a potentially big difference.
Right. And so, I don't know, I'm a little bit like, I feel sad for all those people that are finding out that they lost their jobs and that they're getting their hours cut or whatever, and they're having to go through this mess like right now.
Or they're losing their relatives.
Or the people that are losing, you know, well, like we lost our relatives. I feel bad for this generation of kids.
And I'll mention as well, besides actually losing relatives to death, like one part that I think we're going to hear a lot more about in coming weeks is the effects on people who get it and recover. Like not the people who get sort of the mild version and stay at home and after a couple of weeks they're better, but the people who are hospitalized for weeks on end,
right,
and do eventually recover, they don't die. Some of them will be left with permanent damage from that experience, but even the ones who don't, that's still, they're going to be left with potentially a financial impact. We're already seeing some stories about how much insurance companies are charging for that. Even forget the financials, there's the psychological impact of that as well. Like, we're complaining about the psychological impact of being stuck at home. Compare that to, I was in the hospital for a month for this thing, worrying every day whether I would live or die.
Yeah, so that's on the patients, but I'm just thinking about, you know, our generation of kids that we have no college, no graduations, no start to college, not ending college right now, you know, not going to school like right now, all that.
Well, and being cooped up at home for like a long time as well.
Well, I don't know. Apparently, my son's apparently perfectly happy so far. Yeah.
Well, so is mine. My you know.
Well, he does still want to go to Epcot, but this week he did cry about that. Mm. I had explained to him that it was closed, and I'm like, that you have to wait, and then try to explain to him how long he had to wait. And then when I explained that it wasn't like soon, that it was a long time, I mean, he was very sad.
Yeah.
I mean, and I'm just like, oh, man, you know.
No, I think this is clear. Like, I mean, you talk about these generation defining events like the Kennedy assassination and 9/11 and the financial collapse of 2008. And, you know, you can think about World War II to go back further, you know, Vietnam, these kinds of events that sort of imprint on the psyche of everyone who was around at that time. This is clearly going to be one of those. I mean, the people, you know, and especially the younger people who are sort of in their formative, you know, teenage, early 20s at this moment, this is going to be like the defining event of their adult lives.
Yeah. So, I mean, I was feeling like kind of bleak at the end of the day today.
Yeah. I mean, from the moment I started work today on Friday, I was like, you know, I can't do that. I should just blow off the entire day. And I probably should have. There are a few things I got done and okay, fine. I ended up like dropping off at like 3 o'clock instead of waiting until 5 or whatever. So I stopped a little bit early, but it was a struggle. all day, honestly. And not because anything I was doing was particularly hard or stressful or whatever. It was just like the whole weight of everything is just sort of there. And on top of everything, and like the thing I wanted to do was like, I didn't want to go sit and watch some mindless TV show or whatever. I actually wanted to be productive. I wanted to sit and like clean my office and do some stuff around the house and be physically busy. And, you know, I really didn't get to do that. Like when I finally took off at 3 o'clock, I took a shower. And by the time I got out of that, it was time to like play with Alex and do some stuff. So I still haven't really done that. But, you know, that it's the, you want to have something that you're like doing that is not related to any of this stuff, that is not really serious, that you can just do sort of for your own mental health, you know. And different people have different things that they would do for that purpose. But I think that's important. And like I said, like also just turning the damn news off for a while, like, and I'm a news junkie. That's hard for me. I like having like news on all the freaking time, whether it's live news or podcasts or whatever, something about it, you know. But with the constant drumbeat of this stuff, you know, and it's not just, you know, oh, Donald Trump is doing something stupid again. No, it's death and destruction and people's lives being destroyed. It's you just can't have that constantly on and not be affected by it. So, you know, it's, you know, stepping back for a while is important if you can.
Oh, by the way, on a happier note. OK, so I just went to ESPN.com real quick. So apparently one of the later games, one of the ones that I didn't see, one of the guys later, and I guess I got to find out when he's going to play again. He was like total trash talk and like torturing the other guy was they were playing. OK, and apparently people were saying that was just uproariously hilarious.
Ah, OK. You got to go back and watch the rest of it.
I got to find, you know, one of these guys with a personality that was doing it, that he was just like, yeah, apparently he was just absolutely just being hilarious. So I got to go back. And
well, and on another note from the beginning of our show, while we were recording, my wife took the personality quiz and got Lady Edith Crawley from Downton Abbey.
What? Another show I didn't watch. Wait. Lady Edith Crawley.
I've watched a bunch of Downton Alley. I have watched a bunch of Downton Abbey, but I have
Downtown.
Not...
Downtown.
Downton. Downton.
Downtown.
It's Downton. Downton.
Oh, it's Downton? Oh, well, what the hell? I don't know this damn show exactly. Why the hell am I correcting you?
D-O-W-N-T-O-N.
I just saw Lady Edith Crawley. Okay.
Yes. So anyway, yeah, and I've watched part of this show, but I have not finished it. I have not watched the later seasons or the movie that came out of it. But maybe someday I will. Someday I'll finish it up. So I know who this character is, and I don't know that it matches my wife either, but whatever.
Come on. Computer is always right.
Yes. Always, always right. I think we should end the show with that.
Oh, God, yes, I think we should end the show with that, yes.
So thanks, everybody, for joining us for yet another Curmudgeon's Corner. And like I said, you know, if you need a break from this kind of stuff, you know, take a break. But we'll continue to talk about whatever's going on in future weeks, but we'll try to mix up some stuff that isn't this stuff, too.
Well, we did this week, Virgo.
Yeah, yeah. So anyway, you know where to find us. Facebook.com/curmudgeonscorner. Leave comments there. Share our shows. Tell your friends to listen to. You can leave us feedback at feedback@curmudgeons-corner.com if you like the email thing better. You can reach us on Twitter. I'm at Abulsme, A-B-U-L-S-M-E. Yvonne is at I-M-B-O-U, I-M-B-O-U. We'd love to hear from you in all of those different ways. If you really like the show, patreon.com/curmudgeonscorner. You can leave us a little tip to help with the expenses of the show. And, you know, maybe someday we'll have another Curmudgeon's Corner to get together. But I think it's going to be a while. you know, given everything
it's going to be a while.
Yeah. Yeah. Cause the Patreon paid for the last one of those. Yeah. So join our Patreon, give us a tip, at various levels. You can get things like a Curmudgeon's Corner mug, a postcard, us mentioning you on the show at $2 a month or more, or if you engage with us a lot in the other ways I mentioned, we'll give you an invite to the Curmudgeon's Corner Slack, which is a little chat room where Yvonne and I and C-3PO and all kinds of other people are chatting throughout the week and sharing links.
That's what we got to do. We got to change our nicknames now to whatever their characters are.
Yeah, there you go. There you go. And so, yeah, you'll be able to talk to all of us and chat and all the kind of stuff you do in chat rooms like that. So other than that, review the show anywhere podcast reviews exist. Let us know if you do that. And again, I said this already, but tell your friends to listen if you enjoy the show. And I think that's it. Everybody, stay safe. Do all the things you're supposed to do. And take care of your mental health too. And we'll see you next week. Goodbye.
Bye-bye.
Thank you very much.
All right.
Bye-bye.
All right. Talk to you later. Bye.